Eternal loving Father and gracious God, we thank Thee for Thy dear Son. We love Him because He first loved us and He gave Himself for us. We bless Thee, dear Lord, for His atoning death. We thank Thee for His shed blood. We know, Lord, that without the shedding of blood there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no pardon. There is no salvation. We thank Thee, our Father, for Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, the one who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. O Lord, come and draw near to us today. Again, Lord, remember those that are absent this morning. Minister to them. And grant, Lord, as they read the word today, that Thou will give them a word in season. Now, loving Father, bless us as we gather around Thy truth. We're glad we're here. We're glad we're in the house of God. We're glad we have our congregation around us today. And dear Lord, again, be with and strengthen and heal those that are not able to be here today. Give us the power of Thy Spirit. Enable us, Lord, to preach the word, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, and asking all these things for His glory. Amen. If I were to choose a text from this passage we have read, it would be the verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I find it very interesting the way in which the Spirit of God introduces Lazarus to us. Our interest, as it were, increases the more we get to know about Lazarus. For instance, how many of us would pay any attention if we were told a certain man is sick? We wouldn't have much interest in that certain man, because first of all, we don't know him. We find that that is how Lazarus is introduced to us. Now, a certain man was sick. Now, our interest may increase in that sick person if we were given their name. That's exactly what the Spirit of God does. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Somebody told us in Port Hope, a certain man named John is sick. Well, that's all right. There are quite a few Johns in Port Hope, no doubt. Or quite a few Jims or Charleses or whatever. Now, if we're told something more about him, our interest increases. As it does here, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. Now we know where this Lazarus lives. And we're told something more. We're told something more about his family. We're told that he has two sisters, Mary and Martha. Now we're more interested in this sick man. He's a certain man. He's sick, yes. But now we know he's Lazarus. We know he lives in Bethany. We know something about his family. It's not how we get to know people. We're told about someone who's sick, we're given their name, and we begin to think, oh, that person's married to so-and-so, and they have two children or three children, and they married so-and-so, and that's the way it goes on. And our interest increases. That's how the Spirit of God has introduced Lazarus to us. He's sick at this time. His name is Lazarus. He lives in Bethany. And he has two sisters called Mary and Martha. And whenever Lazarus fell sick, we read in our text, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. We all are sick at some time or another, some for a short time, others a protracted time, and then there are others that have a cross to bear whenever they're sick most of the time. There's some pain or some affliction. And I trust this morning as we consider this passage of Scripture that the Lord will have a word for you. Because there are many lessons to be gleaned from this sickness that came upon Lazarus. First of all, we have Lazarus and his disease. That's what the word sick there means. It refers to some kind of disease. Now, that disease remains a mystery because we're not told the kind of sickness or disease that Lazarus had. But we are told that this Lazarus from Bethany, who lived with his two sisters, was sick. First of all, let's consider his residence. We're told that he lived in Bethany. We're told that he lived with his two sisters. But then we're told something more. There in verse 2, it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so we're told that this residence of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, that the Lord Jesus had visited this home. And I believe the words we have here in parenthesis refer to that incident that took place in chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus was in the house of Mary and Martha and sat down at meat, and Lazarus was with them, and Mary anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so we know that this residence in Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, the Lord Jesus had been to that house. In fact, the Gospels tell us that certainly in three separate occasions, the Lord had been to the house in Bethany. At least three separate occasions, I would believe the Lord had frequented that house on numerous occasions. And so here was a house where the Lord Jesus had resided. Here was a house and a home that in many ways was sold out to the Lord, because Mary had shown her devotion to the Lord by anointing the Lord's feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And they had entertained the Lord on the other occasions when he was there. You remember how the Lord visited them, and Martha was busy, cumbered about with much serving, but Mary sat at the Master's feet. So what can we learn from this? We know then from this passage of Scripture, and from what we read here in the opening verses of Luke chapter 11, or John chapter 11, that godliness and devotion to Jesus Christ is no safeguard against sickness. Now there are those today who would tell us that believers should never be sick. They tell us that if a believer is sick or has some disease, that believer is not right with God. Preachers that preach that don't know what they're talking about. Because here is a house that was devoted to Christ. Mary loved the Lord. Martha served the Lord. And Lazarus was loved by God. Yet Lazarus was sick. And dear Christian, sickness will come to the homes of the godliest people you could meet. Robert Murray McShane, Holy McShane, they called him, minister of St. Peter's, Dundee, Scotland, died a man of 30 years of age. McShane was a delicate individual. He was weak in flesh. He always suffered from sickness. And he died when he was 30. He was a godly man. There was nothing wrong in his life. David Brainard was a godly man, but was weak in body. C.H. Spurgeon, who many call the Prince of Preachers, who lived in constant communion with God, was a man who often took weeks away from his pulpit and went to Mentone in the south of France to recuperate from his sickness. He suffered often. Sometimes when you read his sermons, he makes reference to his sickness as he was preaching that particular day and could hardly stand in the pulpit. He felt so weak. Paul the Apostle spoke about the thorn in the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, the sickness that he often had to endure. And he makes reference in 2 Timothy 4, verse 22, Trophimus. And he says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. The reason why I say this is because that when we have been overcome by sickness or perhaps a serious illness, we may begin to think to ourselves, oh, I wonder what evil I have done to deserve this. This must be God's judgment upon me. Last year, a young couple that we know very well from my former congregation in Ulster, they were blessed with a little child, a baby. But from the moment it was born, it was suffered a great illness. And really, it wasn't expected to live. And after just a few months, the Lord was pleased to take that child home. And I remember phoning that couple to offer my sympathy and that of my family. And the young mother said, this must be God's judgment upon us. What have we done? And we sought to bring a word of comfort and encouragement to her, because she thought that this was God's judgment upon her and upon her husband. Yet we read here in this passage of Scripture that Lazarus was sick. And Lazarus lived in a home that was devoted to the Lord. We have his residence, and then we have the report. We read there in verse 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." There's the report. Whenever Mary and Martha realized their brother was sick and seriously ill, because he eventually died from his sickness, they sent a report to the Lord. "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." How wonderful it is to be in a position to know the Lord, that when sickness comes upon us, we have the Lord to turn to. Martha and Mary immediately turned to the Lord. And we have often said, how can the ungodly, how can the unsaved go through life and all the burdens and the trials and the problems of life without knowing Christ and not having Christ to turn to in the time of need? Visiting our brother Keith there in hospital, every time he's testified to the fact it is good to have the Lord with him. And he knows the Lord is with him. And he knows the prayers of God's people are with him. And he said, that is a great comfort to me. And here was Lazarus lying on a sick bed, and he had two sisters who went and petitioned the Lord. They went and told the Lord about their brother Lazarus being sick. Just like Peter and Andrew, Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, lay sick of a fever. And what does it say? Mark 1, verse 30, it says, "Anon," or immediately, "they tell him of her." Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever, and immediately they went to the Lord and told him about her. Isn't it good when we're laid low through illness? Isn't it good to have God's people talking to the Lord about it? What a comfort it is to know that others have gone to the Lord and are praying for us. They will go to the one who said to Israel, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." When we go to the Lord in prayer and pray for the sick, we do God's will. And we bring encouragement to those who are sick, for they know that in their sickness there's somebody praying for them. And then we have the reminder. Look again at our text. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." I find that in this passage of Scripture there are three references to the Lord's love for Lazarus. We read there in that verse 3, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Look at verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And then later on, whenever the Lord stood at the tomb of Lazarus, as we pointed out last Sabbath evening, the Lord stood there silently weeping. And the Jews saw the tears stream down his cheeks, verse 36. "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." Now we have this witness, this testimony to the love of Christ for Lazarus. And it comes at a time when Lazarus was sick. The love of Jesus Christ comes to the fore. And it's spoken of at a time when Lazarus was sick. Isn't it good to know that when we are sick, that Jesus loves us? Let us look at these three references. During his sickness, Lazarus was reminded of Christ's love for him. First of all, in our text, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest. Not he whom thou once loved, but he whom thou lovest. As Lazarus lay in that sick bed, Jesus Christ loved him as he lay on the sick bed. It was a present love concerning the love that Christ had for Lazarus. It was a continual love. He whom thou lovest is sick. Proverbs 17 tells us that Jesus Christ is the friend who loveth at all times. When we're in good health, he loves us. And when we are sick, he loves us. And very often it's when we are sick that we are reminded in a special way of his love. A Christian man had on the top of his house a weather vane. And on that weather vane he printed the words, God is love. He was asked once by his neighbor, who noticed the words on this weather vane, if he thought that God's love was as changeable as the wind. Is that why you put the words up there? Do you think God's love is as changeable as the wind? And the Christian man replied, no, he says, that's not why I put it up there. He said, I put those words up there to signify that whichever way the wind blows, the Lord is still love. God is love no matter what way the wind blows. Whether we enjoy the winds, the warm winds of prosperity and good health, or the cold east wind of illness and sickness, God is still love. The continuous love that Lazarus enjoyed, it was a comforting love that Lazarus enjoyed. There is no solace in times of sorrow and sickness and suffering like the Savior's love. To know he loves us is to know he cares for us. And even though Lazarus was sick, he knew that God loved him, and if God loved him, then God cared for him. The Lord Jesus loved him and cared for him. And if we find ourselves in a hospital bed at some time or another, remember the weather vane. God is love. The continuous love. Whatever way the wind blows, he still loves us. And that then makes it a comforting love, because we know the Lord cares for us. And the burden is made somewhat lighter when we know the Lord loves us. But then there's something else here. Not only did Lazarus enjoy continuous love of Christ and the comforting love of Christ, but he enjoyed the Calvary love of Christ. You see, the three references here to the love of Christ, verses 3, 5, and 36, we have the word love or loved there three times. If we take verses 3 and 36, we find that the word for love there is phileo. It refers to the love of a friend. And this is in keeping with the words of the Lord Jesus when he said to his disciples in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." The word friend comes from this word phileo, means the love of a friend. Now Mary and Martha spoke about the love of a friend. "He whom thou lovest is sick." The Jews, when they saw the Lord Jesus standing weeping at the tomb of Lazarus, they said how he loved him. They were speaking about the love of a friend. Now when we come to verse 5, a different word is used. And here we have the Holy Spirit's testimony. John, of course, is writing under the inspiration of God. He has recorded the words of Mary and Martha in verse 3. He has recorded the words of the Jews in verse 36. Now here is John's own words. John, writing under the inspiration of God, says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister." Mary and Lazarus, it's a different word there. This time, the word is agapo. And this time, the word for love there is the love of God, not the mere love of a friend. We appreciate the love of our friends, but the love of our friends is nothing like the love of God. And you will find this word used in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The same word is used in John 17, verse 26, and in Romans 5, and verse 8, where we read there about the love of God for us, the love of Christ, Romans 5 and verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What love are we talking about here? We're talking about Calvary love. The love of God. And so Lazarus not only enjoyed the love of a friend, the love of his sisters Mary and Martha, but Lazarus enjoyed the love of God. He enjoyed Calvary love. Dear Christian, when we fall sick, we're laid aside on a bed of sickness, remember this: Jesus loves us with all the love that took him to Calvary. With all the love and took him to the cross where he suffered, bled, and died in the sinner's room instead. What love is this? Next we have the revelation. The report was taken to the Lord, and then we have the revelation. The Lord responded to the report about Lazarus in a most unusual way. Listen to this. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. There was the revelation. The sickness of Lazarus was going to be used to the glory of God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us, myself included, how many of us, whenever we are laid aside because of illness, do we say, how can my illness be used to the glory of God? Why, our first thought is, I want to get better, and I want to get better quickly. But here the sickness of Lazarus was going to be used to the glory of God. What a revelation. And once more, when we are sick, we can comfort ourselves in this and make it our prayer, Lord, glorify thy name through my illness. In some way or other, glorify thy name. That's what Paul prayed in Philippians 1 verse 20. Whether in life or death, his prayer was that Christ would be glorified. We've been praying for our brother, Mr. Brian Ferguson, elder in one of our churches, who over a year ago was diagnosed as having cancer. It was a shattering blow to himself and his wife and family. But Brian's illness was used to the glory of God, because one of his sons came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And it was as a direct result of his father's illness. It was to the glory of God. Lazarus' sickness was to the glory of God. Next we have Lazarus and his decease. We're told that when he heard the news about Lazarus' illness, that the Lord abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 6. Here we have the abiding of Christ. Now, no doubt Mary and Martha thought, they indicate that later on in the chapter, they thought that once the Lord heard about Lazarus' illness, that the Lord would go immediately to their home in Bethany and touch Lazarus and heal him. That's what they thought. But that was not in the plans of the Lord. Instead, the Lord, we're told, instead he abode 2 days still in the same place. He never moved. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go to Bethany. He didn't go and see Lazarus. Rather, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. 2 days after Mary and Martha had told him about their sick brother, still the Lord hadn't come. 2 days after they told the Lord that Lazarus was sick, the Lord hadn't answered. You know, there's a valuable lesson there. The Lord doesn't always answer when we expect Him to. We do not always receive an immediate answer to our petitions. And sometimes, dear Christian, whenever we haven't had an immediate answer to our prayers, we think God hasn't heard us. But that's not the case. Look at the words, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, look at verse 6. When he had heard. And so Mary and Martha couldn't say, well, the Lord perhaps didn't hear us. The Lord did hear. And when we pray for something in particular and the answer hasn't come, we think to ourselves, the Lord hasn't heard my prayer. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, he's heard, all right. You're a child of God. Jesus Christ is your Savior. God has heard your prayer. Because that prayer has been offered on the merits of the shed blood. Offered in the name of the Lord Jesus and Christ, our God has accepted Christ's offering and a sacrifice in his blood. So he has heard your prayers. While John was in, or when John wrote his epistle, rather, in 1 John 5, verse 14, John wrote this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So God hears prayer. There may be a delay in the answer, but he has heard. Something else. We've been praying for someone or for something for some time. The old devil would come when we haven't had an answer to our prayer. The devil would come and tell us, the Lord doesn't love you. He hasn't answered your prayers. He doesn't love you. But we know that's not true. We've already seen that is not true. Because we know that the Lord Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha with a Calvary love. Not only do we have the abiding of Christ, but the awareness of Christ. Verses 11 to 14. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He didn't have to be told. The Lord Jesus was aware. Now, what I find interesting here is that through the eyes of Christ, the situation wasn't as bad as it appeared to Mary and Martha. Because through the eyes of Jesus Christ, Lazarus was sleeping. Through the eyes of Mary and Martha, Lazarus was dead. And how often, when some affliction comes upon us, we see things in the darkest hue, and everything is so dark and black. If only we could see things through the eyes of Christ, things wouldn't look as bad. Because there was quite a difference from a man sleeping and a man being dead. But as far as Jesus Christ was concerned, Lazarus was only sleeping. Because the Lord knew he had power to raise him from the dead. Whenever our problems and our difficulties come, remember that. God sees things differently than we do. And God solving our problems, just like awakening a man out of his sleep. It's as simple as that. But then you have the absence of Christ. And here is another strange saying. When the Lord told his disciples that Lazarus was dead, he went on to say, Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Mary and Martha had sent to the Lord and said, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They expected the Lord to go immediately, but the Lord didn't go. He didn't go until 4 days later. And the Lord said to his disciples, he said, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad that I was not there. Why did he say that? This thought didn't occur to me before until I was studying this week. Why was the Lord glad that he wasn't there? We touched on this last Lord's Day evening. If the Lord Jesus had responded to the request of Mary and Martha and gone immediately to the house of Lazarus, Lazarus couldn't have died. It would have been impossible for Lazarus to have died in the presence of Christ. Because the death angel cannot claim any victim in the immediate presence of Christ. So he said last week, that's why the Lord Jesus had to die first at Calvary. Because the death angel couldn't claim the two thieves while Christ was still alive. Because everywhere that the Lord Jesus came face to face with death, he conquered death. And here it is again. If the Lord had gone to the house in Bethany, Lazarus couldn't have died. And if he didn't die, he couldn't have been raised from the dead. And if he hadn't have been raised from the dead, Christ wouldn't have got the glory. And people wouldn't have believed. Because many believe when they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And so now we see why the Lord doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. And we see why he didn't go. In fact, if you look at the words of Martha and Mary, verse 21, then said Martha unto the Lord, said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's perhaps not what they were thinking. They were thinking when the Lord had gone there, he would have healed Lazarus from his sickness. But if the Lord had been there in the house in Bethany, Lazarus could not have died while in the presence of the giver of life. Death could not claim the victory in the immediate presence of Christ. And then we have finally Lazarus and his deliverance. Notice his arrival. The Lord did not go to Lazarus while he was alive, but now he arrives at the grave 4 days later. His arrival. There were those who thought that he had come too late. Verse 21. Verse 32. Verse 37. They all said the same thing. The Lord had to come sooner, Lazarus would have been healed. And they all thought because Lazarus was now dead, the Lord had arrived too late. dear believer, whatever your plight, whatever your condition, whatever your need, it's never too late. Never too late while there's a God in heaven, while Christ is on the throne. It's never too late. His arrival, his adoration, verses 41 and 42. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Notice that. The Lord heard the report of Mary and Martha. Now the Father hears the Lord. And here is our mediator set before us again. He hears our petitions, he hears our prayers, and he sets them before his heavenly Father. He's a mediator between God and them. And he prays to his heavenly Father. And dear child of God, what a blessing it is to know that at the Father's right hand today, there is one who's interceding. When you're lying on a bed of sickness, believer, there's one in heaven who's praying for you. His name is Jesus. And then his ability. Verse 25, we read, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he stood at the tomb of Lazarus and cried, Lazarus, come forth. As we said last week, he had to say, Lazarus. He had to nominate Lazarus. If he hadn't have nominated Lazarus and cried, come forth, all in the graves would have arisen. He points out Lazarus. His ability. Resurrection power. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it was like wakening a man from his slumbers. It was as simple as that. And dear Christian, does that then not put our problems and our difficulties into perspective? If God is able to raise a man from the dead, just like awakening someone out of the sleep, if he can do it so simply as that, then he can meet our needs, solve our problems, carry our burdens, just as simply. There's no problem too difficult for him. There's no need too great for him. There's no burden too heavy for him. And he's ours today. And he loves us with his Calvary love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Father and our gracious, loving God, as we have just been singing, Lord, our glory tonight is in the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we've just been singing that thy Lord might bring the scenes of the cross before us. And we pray that even now as we consider verses from this passage of Scripture, Lord, bring the scenes of Calvary before us. Let us see Christ and his finished work. O gracious God, we ask thee now that thou wilt be pleased to abide with us tonight. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. O Lord, with me abide. May that be our prayer as individuals tonight. May we know the abiding presence of our Savior. Give us, Lord, thy power tonight and help us, Lord, to minister the word. And may the Spirit of God minister the word to our souls. In his dear name we pray. Amen.